Luke chapter 5 contains another little parable that Jesus wrote. Some parables occupy almost the whole chapter. Other parables, just part of a verse. And as we read this in Luke 5, we'll see its similarity to that parable we had the other week, which said this, "Physician, heal thyself." Remember that little parable. "Physician, heal thyself." Now, we're going to read another portion that has something similar to that, and we'll understand that it is like the portion, "Physician, heal thyself," in Luke 4. Look at verse 27. "And after these things, he went forth and beheld a tax collector named Levi, sitting at the place of toll, and said unto him, Follow me. And he forsook all, and rose up, and followed him." We'll find out that Levi is the other name of Matthew. Matthew gives us the new name that he received after he followed Christ, just as we have Cephas, and then we have another name, Simon, and then he's called Peter. So here we have Levi, and then he's called Matthew. So when we read about Levi, we're talking about Matthew, so I'll read it that way in verse 29. "And Matthew made him a great feast in his house. And there was a great multitude of publicans," these are tax collectors, "and of others that were sitting at meat with them. And the Pharisees and their scribes murmured against his disciples, saying, Why do you eat and drink with the tax collectors and sinners? And Jesus, answering, said unto them, They that are whole have no need of a physician, but they that are sick." That's parable today. We could call it a proverb. "They that be whole have no need of a physician, but they that are sick. I am not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." Let us speak to God again in prayer. Our Father, indeed, never man spake like this man. The words of thy Son, so simple, yet so profound. The briefest utterances containing such a wealth of truth. We thank you, our God, for this man. We are thankful for his large parables, and we are thankful for his small parables as well. We would look at the large one, and would break them down and make them smaller in our understanding. And the small ones, our God, we would expand and make them larger in our comprehension of Scripture. So whether large or small, teach us the significance of these parables that were spoken by thy Son. We thank you for them all. Now we are glad, our God, for all who are here today. We are glad that Adolf and Mary can be out. Continue to give them health and strength. Thy Son speaks about loving the Father with all the strength. So, give them strength and let them love thee that way. And this is for the rest of us as well. And for all the others who are here that have needs, it may not be a physical need, our God, but there exist spiritual needs. There are burdens in all our lives. So, upon these, our God, and heal and comfort and also lift the burdens that are hard to bear, and let us understand the greatness of this man who came from heaven. We confess our sins. Be faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse from all unrighteousness. You will do this because you have promised. And prepare the hearts of the listeners. In spite of themselves, our God, let the truth enter in and find a permanent place and bring forth fruit in their lives and empower the lips of him who speaks, we pray. In the name of Jesus Christ, the Lord. Amen. These two little parables are similar in this respect. Both of them talk about a physician, a doctor. Last week, Christ put in the mouths of those in his own hometown, "Physician, heal thyself." Now here, the Lord Jesus uses that word again, and he says, "They that be whole," that is, strong, well, "they that be whole have no need of a physician, but they that are sick." Now, it is so simple, it seems elementary. But I've seen the Savior, concerning this parable, and other utterances, repeat them again and again. Something so simple, because we must grasp the simple, basic truths of life. And one of them is this. If you're not sick, you won't go to the doctor. Like he said, concerning another thing. Our Savior said when he was challenged, "Physician, heal thyself." He gave this basic truth. He said, "No prophet has honor in his own country." The Lord Jesus understood about the nature of man. And when he was talking to them about doctors, he was telling them that they that behold have no need of a physician. And he said this also. He said, "A servant is not greater than his master." You say, that's evident, is it? Then why do you exalt yourself above the Savior and would presume to tell him what to do? The Savior, the Master, is going to wash Peter's feet. And Peter says to him, "You'll never wash my feet, I see." And so Christ said, "The servant is not greater than his master." But now Peter rises up and he's going to tell his master what to do. And in like manner, when the Savior said, "We have to go and cure Lazarus." And they said to him, "You can't go up there. Don't you understand that they will put you to death?" "I see." And so they know more than the master. So the Savior knows when to utter the simplest truths again and again. The servant is not greater than his master. Then you remember that. And when the Lord Jesus gives his command, you follow it. Say, "Yea, Lord." When a question is asked, then you present yourself, and the Lord says, "Then do this." Say, "Yes, Lord." So here, another simple parable is given. They that be whole have no need of a physician, but they that are sick. So we twice have physicians. And in both instances, the expertise, the power, the wisdom of this physician was wasted, was in vain, because they would not avail themselves of that power. They said to him, "Physician, heal thyself." The Lord Jesus said, "I'm not going to do it." So here was the physician, and had they taken a different attitude, the Lord Jesus would have done something for them. I may tell you about this in the coming day. On another visit, it explains concerning this first visit. It said Jesus could there do not many mighty works because of their unbelief. And so they say, "Physician, heal yourself. The things that you've done," and they would presume to tell him how to act. His brothers tried the same thing in John 7. They said, "What are you doing home? Don't you know that there is a feast in Jerusalem? You're supposed to be made known to the people. Go up to this feast and advertise yourself." The Lord Jesus said, "You go up." He said, "My time is not yet to go up." But his brothers would tell him what to do. And so there are always people that will tell others how to direct their lives. And the direction they give is not in harmony with the Scripture. Now, if you can tell me anything that is the Word of Christ, I will cherish it and thank you for it. But if you tell me something that's contrary to the Word of God, why, you're like the brethren of Christ who say, go up to Jerusalem and advertise yourself. The Lord said, no, I'm not supposed to. Peter says, oh, don't go to Jerusalem and be crucified. And the Lord says, get thee behind me, Satan. So remember those simple things that Christ says. They are not to be passed by lightly, but as we heard this morning, the meditation of our heart. We have to meditate hour after hour over the simplest words that Christ has spoken. All right, think of these. Physicians are needed. Doctors are needed by sick people and not well people. You say, I understand that. But are there not a lot of people who are sick, who do not know they're sick? That is the whole essence of this parable of Christ. They that be old have no need of a physician. He is talking about the same people that he talks about in Luke 15. He says, there is more joy in heaven over one sinner that repented than over the 99 who have no need of repentance. Don't you understand that that is irony? This is what God's Word says. There is not a righteous man upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not. But if there's not a righteous man upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not, then we are all diseased by sin, and we are all as an unclean thing, and we need to go to this physician. But until we are aware of our sickness, we will never go to that physician. And some of us, as I've known those who have been sick, they keep hoping against hope that this breaking out on their skin is not what they think it is. This pain inside them is not what they think it is. And then they wait and wait. And finally, when the pain is unbearable, they go to the physician and he says to them, it is cancer and I can do nothing now. It spreads throughout your body. Now that is what's going to happen to the world of scribes and Pharisees, like those who are speaking to Christ, to whom Christ speaks these words. They that be whole have no need of a physician. He's talking about them. You think you are well. You have no need of a physician. You will never present yourself to me for healing because you don't think there's anything wrong with you. Keep that in mind. So this is the parable, and Christ is the one who speaks it, and we are going to consider it in detail after we see what brought it on, what was the environment in which our Savior spoke that parable. It all happened this way. Only the Savior is able to understand when a man is ripe for the call to follow him. The word is a little different in Luke's Gospel when it says, as he passed by the toll booth of Matthew the tax collector, it says he was beholding him. He was watching him. And the Savior knew, this is the time. And he went up to him and said, follow me. That's all he said. Follow me. And this man, who has this responsible position, forsakes all and gets up and goes his way with the Lord Jesus. And he is no longer a tax collector, but he is one that is laying up treasure in heaven. Before, his occupation was one of getting treasure from you. We all understand about income tax collectors, why that is what they want to excel in getting money from people. Now, we can be thankful that we have some recourses in our internal revenue system, but at this time, these tax collectors have a power and a ruthlessness that is not present in our tax collectors. There was no recourse. So here is the Savior, and he looks over this man who has a heart of covetousness, and he says to him, follow me. And the man abandoned forever his is getting money from men and embarks on a career of laying up treasure in heaven. I wonder if Jesus would ask you to do anything like that. I remember once, years and years ago, let me see, over 40 years ago, speaking to a Jewish man about the Savior, and I said, I want you to learn about the Messiah. Jesus is the Messiah. And he was studying the dentist, and he said this to me. He said, I can't do it now. He said, I must finish my education. I must get established in my practice. And when I am established, then I will consider whether Jesus is the Messiah. Needless to say, I never heard anything more about him and Christ or his interest in the Lord. Why? Because God, through a human instrument, was saying, trust Christ as Savior. He was saying, at a more convenient season. Not now. I have other things that are more important. Well, if I had the position of Matthew becoming rich, and the Savior said, follow me, I think I would give him many arguments. I can't do that. Some people would continue in sinful occupations, giving this excuse. Well, don't you understand? The money that I collect, I can enrich missionaries and the Lord's servants. I can do things for the church of God. God doesn't want that kind of money. He would rather have one that obeyed him than gave abundance of money. And he would rather have one to obey him than to offer sacrifices and the fat of rams. You remember that's what Samuel said to King Saul. He said, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. So the Savior says to this man, follow me. No excuses. He rises up and forsakes all and follows the Lord Jesus. It wasn't always that way. Alas, our Savior speaks to some and he says, follow me. And they say, permit me first to go and say farewell to my parents. Allow me to go and bury my father, and then I will come and follow you. And the Lord Jesus says, no use. You are not the right candidate. But in this case, here was a man who was right for calling, and he obeyed the Savior. We never know whether those men who went and said goodbye to their parents, who went and buried their fathers, if after that they inspired their hearts enough to follow the Savior. That's the sad thing. I've been thinking this. I'm thinking of what I am by nature, born in sin and shapen in iniquity. I'm thinking of the world in which I live, and I'm thinking of the difficulties of trying to preach the word and maintain the truth. And knowing this, if I were unconverted and the Lord said, follow me, I want you to be a preacher, I want you, I see how difficult it would be. But what was so remarkable was March the 27th, 1946, I was spoken to by men in the Navy. They told me about the Savior, and through the scriptures they said, follow the Lord Jesus, trust him as Savior. And in the simplest possible way, by myself, kneeling by my bunk, I prayed to the Savior and took him as the one to forgive me my sin. And it was so simple, and it was genuine, and I rejoiced in that my whole life long. But life has become so complicated now. And today, you would wonder, but God knows. He knew the time to have my heart spoken to. And he spoke to me at the right time, and he said, follow me. And I said, yes, Lord. And I started preaching the very next day, witnessing to individuals. And then whenever I got a chance, I would give a testimony or explain the word of God. And so I rejoiced. And so at least, in this respect, when Matthew was spoken to by the Savior, and the Savior said, follow me, after I had thought through all that was involved, God's way of salvation, and the Savior said, follow me, I said, yes, Lord, I will follow you. And I did. Now, here is Matthew, and he accepts the invitation of the Savior, and what is so remarkable is that these ones that are despised in the scriptures, the Savior says this about them. He says, the tax collectors and the harlots go into the kingdom of God before all of you righteous Pharisees. What does that mean? It means that when Jesus preached to the harlots and to men that were tax collectors like Matthew and Zacchaeus, they obeyed the Lord. The Savior saw another tax collector up a sycamore tree, and he said, "Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for the day I must abide at thy house." And it says that Zacchaeus obeyed him immediately and with joy. He came down and took him home. Isn't that a remarkable thing? That the Savior could speak to income tax collectors whom the Jews had said they are despicable. And the Lord Jesus says they need to be saved too. And when he speaks to them, they respond to the invitation that Christ gives. In like manner, there are centurions. Here is Rome, the hated enemy of Israel, and yet this hated enemy, Rome, has centurion soldiers, and the centurion soldiers, the Savior says concerning one, he says, "I have not found so great faith, no, not in all Israel." And so the Savior after that says, "The publicans and the harlots go into the kingdom of God before you." So you never know who might want to trust Christ as Savior. I've been so discouraged. I've spoken to people, the ones that I come in contact with, and it seems as if all is going well, and you've had the same experience. But after they find what is involved, and the Savior tells them that, and you do not have to hold back what is involved. When the man said, "Lord, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest," the Savior said to him, "The foxes have their holes, the birds of the air have their nests, the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head." Oh, it's going to the man's privations and sacrifices and uncertainty of existence. The Savior says, "Yes, you hear no more about that man." And so this is the sad thing about some. When they learn all the sacrifices, all that is involved, you thought they were going along well. But when they saw the issue of this invitation and abandonment of the world, becoming a new creature in Christ Jesus, when they learned what that was, then they ceased following you and thinking that what you had to say was good. And then they go on their way, and they continue in their folly and in their sins. But thank God, there are some who have lived lives of sin, and when they do live lives of sin, they are called by the Savior, and in spite of that, the power of the Savior, the Son of God, can break those chains and help. So what does it mean? It means this. That in the case of money, for Zacchaeus, and for Matthew, if the Savior says, "Follow me," the power of the invitation of Christ can break those chains, the chains of greed that are binding you. And at the same time, if you have been in the city of sinner, a harlot, and the Lord Jesus calls you, he can break that power of sin, and you will follow him. And that is what is so thrilling about the Savior. There are some whom I have desired to take to introduce to a friend, but I did not know if that friend would want to waste his time in listening to them. The concertmaster of the Cleveland Symphony Orchestra, the finest violinist, here he is, and I have friends, you know, Paul and Lisa Malcolm, and also Eric. I said, "Dan, if you come to my house, may I invite some friends down to talk to you a little? They have some questions to ask you, and they would like to see that Stradivarius that you play." He said, "Bring them on." And yet there are other important people that if you ask them about bringing someone to them, they would say, "I can't be bothered with such individuals. No, my time is too important. Keep them away." Well, here is what I find about the Savior. That whenever there is a harlot that wants salvation, whenever there is an income tax collector that wants salvation, and a friend brings them to Jesus, the Lord Jesus says, "Let them come." And no one who has ever sincerely come to Christ with a need has gone away the way that he came to Christ. If they came with covetousness and were touched by this position, then they went away generous. And if they were lewd sinners, they went away with the power of Christ controlling that lewdness. So, here is what is so interesting about Matthew. It is this, that Christ calls him, and he's looked him over, and he says, this is the time. I've told you of times when Christ spoke, and it just shows you the goodness of him. The Lord Jesus is aware that not everyone is going to respond, but he calls them anyway. But then, their failure to follow is not Christ's fault. If a sinner says, well, I would have followed you if you asked me. Oh, I see. The Lord Jesus said, follow me. Well, I can't follow you. I have to bury my father. Oh, the Lord Jesus calls and calls and calls. There is no sinner in the world whom Jesus Christ is not illumined enough to be saved. It says he lighteth every man that cometh into the world. And so we are born in darkness. And the Lord Jesus, the light of the world, illumines us. And when he illumines us, then, if we respond to that light, then we are saved. But if not, the Lord Jesus said, I still illumine you. Here is what some people hate to acknowledge. They say, well, Jesus never failed. Oh, he never failed of himself. But if there is a man with a horrible disease, and he will not place himself in the hands of a physician, then, if he dies, can a man say, you were supposed to be a physician, why didn't you heal this man? The Savior would say, he would not permit me to heal him. And it's the same way that all the children of God, with all the sinners in the world, the Lord Jesus has done all things well, and it says concerning the power that he imparts to us, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. And therefore, Christ which strengthens, if we do not accept the strength, we are weaklings. If we do not accept the physician's diagnosis and medicine, then we will remain in our disease condition. But understand that the Lord Jesus is the physician, and there is no case that is too horrible for the Savior to treat. You realize, and I can sympathize so much, that AIDS, that incurable disease, is terrible. And if somehow the blood of an AIDS victim gets in a place on your body that is cut, then you contracted the disease. And there are some doctors who, when they find out you have AIDS, or Dr. Jones, he's the one that handles all the AIDS patients, you see. But the Lord Jesus, no matter what the disease is, he is immune to disease. I know that because the Savior was asked by a leper. He said, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me whole. And the Lord Jesus touched him. He said, I will. Be thou made whole. For if I touch the leper, I would go home and wash my hands 10 times and put all sorts of antiseptic upon them. And the Lord Jesus was unafraid of touching these individuals. Now, there are some who will not come to Christ because they think that their disease is so loathsome that Christ would be ashamed and would do nothing for them. I assure you, this is not true. The woman who had an issue of blood, think of this now. She's not permitted to be in society. She had an issue of blood, but she could not come to the Savior and expose herself and her vile disease. And so she said, if I touch but the hem of his garment, I shall be made whole. And she went and touched the hem of his garment. And immediately she was cured. And the Savior said, I must find out who touched me. And then he found the woman and he said, don't worry about this. Your faith has made you whole. Go in peace. Be cured of thy disease. And so there are some in the world who say, the disease that I have is so loathsome, Jesus doesn't want to do anything for me. But I told you about this woman with an issue of blood. The sins that I committed were so great, Christ doesn't want to do anything for me. I told you about harlots. I told you about traitors who have forsaken their own brethren and countrymen to gather taxes for Rome. And yet the Lord Jesus is willing to save them. Whatever your occupation, whatever sin you have committed, and whatever your spiritual disease might be, the Lord Jesus is the physician, and he is able to cure you. And yet, this is what is so remarkable. When they said to him, He said, "Physician, heal thyself." The Lord Jesus responded, "Not in the least." He did absolutely nothing for him. And so here was one, and remember, as God says, you go and preach and say this and that, and whether they respond or whether they reject what you say, they will know that a prophet has been in their midst. So the Lord Jesus is there. And someday, those people that could not receive him and would not yield themselves to his healing power, in the coming day, they will see what opportunity is this. But not Matthew. Here is Matthew, and I thank God for this, that Matthew has the Savior to call him, and probably what takes him by surprise is this. I would have gone to you, Jesus, but all your countrymen, the Pharisees and the scribes, those hypocrites, they didn't want anything to do with me. And I would have gone to you, but I thought you didn't want anything to do with me. But they found out that Jesus was different from his countrymen. That is what is so important. So, when the Lord Jesus said to Matthew, follow me, the joy of his heart was this, that Jesus would accept me. Now, that is rare. Some say, God should accept me. What a wonderful vessel God would gather if he accepted me and put me in his service. But Matthew understood that he was a despised tax collector, and he thought it was a gracious thing for Jesus to do. Zacchaeus did the same thing. And when he saw that Jesus was willing to go home and have dinner with him, why, he rejoiced. He came down joyfully and took Jesus home. So this is what Matthew and Zacchaeus, and this is what every sinner has found, that any genuinely repentant sinner who comes to the Lord Jesus and wants salvation, he finds that the Lord Jesus accepts him. The Savior says this. He says, all that the Father giveth me shall come unto me, and him that cometh unto me I shall in no wise cast out. And for that reason, I preach the gospel, and if I had not that message to preach, I would not preach the gospel. If I had to look at you and say, well, he will accept him and him and her, but not you or you or you, I would preach no gospel because I wouldn't know to whom to preach. But I can preach because Christ is one who receiveth sinful men. And this is what God teaches us in this portion. Matthew didn't know it, but when he found out that Jesus wanted him, he said, yes, Lord. Zacchaeus didn't know it, but when Jesus called him, he said, yes, Lord. And so immediately he left everything, and all of his underlings would say, well, what about the business? He would say, you may have it. It doesn't mean that he abandoned it and left everything in confusion, but there would be underlings as well. Just as Peter, Andrew, James, and John, they left their nets, they left their fathers, but there were the servants that were attending to things. But he forsook everything. He was willing to let other men make money in this world. He was interested now in laying up treasures in heaven. Now, this is the variation, and this is what is so beautiful. I told you about that physician that they said, heal yourself. He wouldn't do anything. Now the Lord Jesus said, they that are whole have no need of a physician, but they that are sick. What does this mean? Here is a physician that can heal those that are sick, that will heal those that are sick. And why Matthew is to be congratulated is because he made a great feast and invited all of his old cronies to come to his house and sit down and eat with Jesus and him. Understand this. The best possible way to convert sinners is by introducing them personally to the Lord Jesus. You would be astounded how many lies, how much confusion exists concerning the person of Christ. What happens is this. Matthew says, I'm going to have a feast. He knew two things. He knew if Jesus would accept me, he would accept these other sinful buddies of mine as well. And he would go to the ball and say, now come on to my house. We're having a great feast. I want you to meet this man that's just come into my life. Jesus of Nazareth. Come and meet him. And so when they went and met him, They found out that he wasn't like the scribes and the Pharisees. There was no hypocrisy in his life. There was a receptivity in his life. And he was willing to receive the other tax collectors and sinners that were friends with Matthew. And the Lord Jesus did receive them. All right. Understand this. What happens is that Matthew knew at a different time than the rich man knew about those with whom he associated. It says the rich man in hell was talking with Abraham. He said, look, I have 5 brethren back on earth. Look, I don't want them to come to this place of torment. Send Lazarus to dip his, preach to them. They will repent if one goes to them from the dead. Notice that the rich man knew that his brothers on earth were sinners the same way he was. Now, in like manner, Matthew knows that his fellow tax collectors and sinful friends are in the same need that he was in. And so he's going to do something about it. In hell, if you start thinking about friends that you should have spoken to and the message that you should have received, it's too late. Abraham said, no, a great gulf fixed. But here, in the land of the living, Matthew invites all his friends, and they come and eat with the Lord Jesus, and they see the Savior is altogether lovely. He's a friend of publicans and sinners. He's willing to accept me as I am, but he's not willing to let you remain as you are. This is what some people would do and pervert the gospel. They think that Jesus takes you just as you are and you can continue to be as you are. The Lord Jesus said, I am not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. And there are those who say, I've trusted Christ as Savior, but there have been no works worthy of repentance. And people look at them and say, you are saved? You believe in Jesus? Yes. They reject you. And at the same time, you tell them about this Jesus who will accept men in their sins and let them continue in their sins. They reject it. They don't want it. But the Lord Jesus said, I am come not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. And now, Matthew says, you and you, all of you come, bring anybody you want to. There is one who will forgive you your sins if you will repent. And it's still true today. The Lord Jesus has come to call sinners. Take that place as a sinner. When Christ calls, respond, and you will have eternal life. Time is gone. Let us pray. Our Father, we are thankful for what some of us have found out about the Lord Jesus, that he's greater than any man has ever described him. The half has not been told. He's altogether lovely. Never man spake like that man. He can heal the brokenhearted. He can dry tears. He can free us from the power of broken sin, of canceled sin. And so let us understand that's what he wants to do. We know that he calls some and they say, let me do this. The Savior says, leave the dead to bury the dead. And there are some that Christ calls and they say, let me continue in my sin. And he says, go and sin no more. So help us, Father, to know that he's willing to heal us. But if we accept this healing, then we must be new creatures in Christ Jesus. And we have to bring forth fruit worthy of repentance. So bless these fruits for our hearts, we pray. And may not one of us here not have experienced the healing of the great physician. We ask in the name of Jesus Christ, the Lord. Amen.